At 5 to 5, Harry bade the other two goodbye and set off for Umbridge's office on the 3rd floor. When he knocked on the door, she said, "Come in," in a sugary voice. He entered cautiously, looking around. He had known this office under 3 of its previous occupants. In the days when Gilderoy Lockhart had lived here, it had been plastered in beaming portraits of its owner. When Lupin had occupied it, it was likely you would meet some fascinating dark creature in a cage or tank if you came to call. In the imposter Moody's days, it had been packed with various instruments and artifacts for the detection of wrongdoing and concealment. Now, however, it looked totally unrecognizable. The surfaces had all been draped in lacy covers and cloths. There were several vases full of dried flowers, each residing on its own doily. And on one of the walls was a collection of ornamental plates, each decorated with a large technicolor kitten, wearing a different bow around its neck. These were so foul that Harry stared at them transfixed until Professor Umbridge spoke again.
"Good evening, Mr. Potter."
Harry started and looked around. He had not noticed her at first because she was wearing a luridly flowered set of robes that blended only too well with the tablecloth on the desk behind her. "Evening," Harry said stiffly.
"Well, sit down,"
she said, pointing toward a small table draped in lace beside which she had drawn up a straight-backed chair. A piece of blank parchment lay on the table, apparently waiting for him. Said Harry without moving. "Professor Umbridge, before we start, I wanted to ask you a favour." Her bulging eyes narrowed.
"Oh, yes."
"Well, I'm on the Gryffindor Quidditch team, and I was supposed to be at the tryouts for the new keeper at 5 o'clock on Friday, and I was wondering whether I could skip detention that night and do it another night instead." He knew long before he reached the end of his sentence that it was no good.
"Oh, no,"
said Umbridge, smiling so widely that she looked as though she'd just swallowed a particularly juicy fly.
"Oh, no, no, no. This is your punishment for spreading evil, nasty, attention-seeking stories, Mr. Potter. And punishments certainly cannot be adjusted to suit the guilty one's convenience. No, you will come here at 5 o'clock tomorrow, and the next day, and on Friday too, and you will do your detentions as planned. I think it rather a good thing that you are missing something you really want to do. It ought to reinforce the lesson I am trying to teach you."
Harry felt the blood surge to his head and heard a thumping noise in his ears. So he told evil, nasty, attention-seeking stories, did he? She was watching him with her head slightly to one side, still smiling widely, as though she knew exactly what he was thinking and was waiting to see whether he would start shouting again. With a massive effort, Harry looked away from her, dropped his school bag beside the straight-backed chair, and sat down.
"There," said Umbridge sweetly. "We're getting better at controlling our temper already, aren't we? Now, you are going to be doing some lines for me, Mr. Potter. No, not with your quill,"
she added, as Harry bent down to open his bag.
"You're going to be using a rather special one of mine. Here you are."
She handed him a long, thin black quill with an unusually sharp point.
"I want you to write, 'I must not tell lies,'"
she told him softly. "How many times?" Harry asked, with a creditable imitation of politeness.
"Oh, as long as it takes for the message to sink in," said Umbridge sweetly. "Off you go."
She moved over to her desk, sat down, and bent over a stack of parchment that looked like essays for marking. Harry raised the sharp black quill and then realized what was missing. "You haven't given me any ink," he said.
"Oh, you won't need ink,"
said Professor Umbridge with the merest suggestion of a laugh in her voice. Harry placed the point of the quill on the paper and wrote, "I must not tell lies." He let out a gasp of pain. The words had appeared on the parchment in what appeared to be shining red ink. At the same time, the words had appeared on the back of Harry's right hand, cut into his skin as though traced there by a scalpel. Yet, even as he stared at the shining cut, the skin healed over again, leaving the place where it had been slightly redder than before, but quite smooth. Harry looked around at Umbridge. She was watching him, her wide toad-like mouth stretched in a smile.
Yes?
Nothing, said Harry quietly. He looked back at the parchment, placed the quill upon it once more, wrote, I must not tell lies, and felt the searing pain on the back of his hand for a second time. Once again the words had been cut into his skin. Once again they healed over seconds later. And on it went. Again and again Harry wrote the words on the parchment in what he soon came to realize was not ink, but his own blood. And again the words were cut into the back of his hand, healed, and then reappeared the next time he set quill to parchment.